speaking with Deputy Chief Matt Myrick of the University of Illinois Police Department on body cameras. I know that I don't think you guys have a firm date yet. We're going to roll these out, but you're hoping before students get back. So what's the target date in your mind right now that you think you can get done?
Well, it's just before the students get back is our main goal. We've got all the equipment here, so that was a process in and of itself, getting the equipment on site, getting all the network infrastructure in place that we needed in the building, actually, to make this work, getting all the car cameras changed over to the new system. So that was quite a process. Now we're just in the final stages of updating and finalizing the revisions and the changes to our policy, and also making a PowerPoint, like a presentation, so we can give to the officers. So all the officers will have to make sure that they review the policy, because this is new for all of them. So we got to make sure that they understand the policy completely and what our expectations of it as a department are of them with this new technology.
So you for sure have it up before students start classes start on the 27th, or could you get some hiccups when you're trying to get all the information out to the officers and updating the policy and things like that?
Well, I would never say 100% for sure, because you never know what kind of roadblocks might come up. I don't envision, as I sit here today, anything that would keep us from getting that done. I mean, that's been our goal all along. So, you know, we've got a little bit of time here. We've been working on the policy and going through what the best practices are and other model policies and looking at other areas and what they do. So we're really close to finalizing that. And then it's just a matter of getting everybody trained, which we can actually do through daily briefings. You know, whatever shift, we can do that training through that. So a lot of the officers are very technologically advanced, so they're going to pick up on this really quick, and it isn't going to be that big of a deal for them. But there will be a learning curve. There will be some nuances. There'll be some, you know, evolution of how we do this and how it works into operation, and that'll take some time even after we implement this.
Well, just remember to turn it on, because you're not used to having that there on your body. Then remember to turn it on.
Right, and so, well, it is linked with the car camera. So if they're in the car and, like, they turn on the lights or something like that, the body camera will automatically turn on. But, you know, what about the situation where you're outside of the car and you're just on walking patrol, bike patrol, ATV, something like that? Yeah, and what you've done for years, if you've been an officer for a long time, is you get out and talk to a subject, and there's going to be times where people forget to turn them on in that situation. So that is kind of the learning curve that we're talking about. Is, you know, we're going to have some flexibility. It's not going to be like an iron fist deal, but you know, there's going to be a period of time where it's kind of we're flexible about things. But after a certain amount of time, okay, this is the expectation, and you got to hit that, and it's just a new process that you have to do in your job.
And they're going to be able to wear them, from what I just gathered here, that they're going to be able to wear them in the middle of their chest, on their shoulder, and kind of anywhere they want, where they're most comfortable. It doesn't have to be in a set location on the body.
Right. Yeah, we don't want to make this, you know, say you have to wear it here, because, you know, the deal is it has to work for them in how they set up their uniform and how they wear their uniform. And once again, there's a lot of variables. Does the officer wear a vest on the outside of the uniform? Do they wear the vest under the uniform shirt? You know, are they wearing a coat? There's just a lot of variables. So the good thing about this system is it's kind of flexible. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it depends if you're 5 foot tall or you're 6 foot five tall. I mean, we've got one officer that's, you know, about 6'5". So where you wear that is very important. And that's why there's some flexibility in where they put it on their uniform.
You guys mentioned you've been testing this for a couple of years. I'm guessing that includes just testing the various systems that Officer Snow mentioned. So you guys tested 4 systems, and just a handful of officers, I'm guessing, have been out on the streets with these and testing this over that 2-year period?
Right. So we solicited volunteers when we started this whole process, you know, who would be interested in testing these body cameras. So we got some volunteers. We try to do 2 on every shift, so you get what it looks like in the daytime, you know, evening, nighttime, morning, that kind of stuff. So we did test, we looked at a bunch of different deals and then narrowed it down to 4 systems that we thought it was worth our time to actually investigate and test. So we did, everything in the university kind of moves slow, so sometimes we had to have testing and evaluation contracts that had to go through the process in the university to get approved. So the process has been a couple of years. The actual real life testing maybe didn't take that long. And then once we decided on a particular vendor, then it was also quite a long process of what equipment do we need, how do we need to set up the infrastructure in our department, you know, how do we go through the process of buying it, which luckily this vendor we went with was on state bid, so we didn't have to go do an RFP or go out for any kind of bids or something like that. So that process was streamlined somewhat, but it's still time consuming and took a while to get everything in place.
So when did you actually start testing the models out on the streets with officers?
Boy, it's hard for me to, so much has happened since then. I think, I want to say that maybe we started testing in the fall of 16 or the spring of 17. But I could be off on that. A lot has happened since then. And, you know, once we kind of made our decision, then we just forgot about everything else and moved forward with what our decision was.
So you've been out on the streets for more than a year, but would it be safe to say more than a year with these, testing these?
Yeah, different versions. Not any one particular.
Yeah,
although the WatchGuard company, you know, a lot of places were given to us to test for 30 days, and we would get that extended for 60 days, and a couple of the companies would kind of, you know, maybe it's supposed to be a 60-day test, but they just left the units with us for an extended period of time. And so while the technical evaluation period was over, you know, in theory, the units were still here, and our testers were still wearing them. And I'll tell you, we got some really good video during that testing evaluation phase, and so I'm excited. There's been several incidents now where I wish we had them, you know, and that's just the nature of the process of getting this all implemented. But because what happened was when we finished, we had to send the test units back. And so now we've gone for a phase where we didn't have them at all. And then you're looking going, man, I wish we would have had these things, because it would have been nice for, you know, several of these incidents to be able to have this.
Now, did your department, was that your body cam footage from, obviously you can't talk about the investigation with the student, Mr. Applebaum, but was that your department camera footage that came out? You guys had those, or was that another agency's body camera footage?
No, it was not ours, and that's exactly what I was talking about. I wish we had this implemented when that happened, because I'd love to have the camera footage of that. That was actually the sheriff's office officer that had that, because the sheriff's office, I think, was one of the first in the county to get body cams. Sheriff's office and maybe Rantoul, I can't remember.
Yeah. Okay.
But sheriff's office had body cams for several years. They have a different vendor, but that was their video for that incident.
What was the, if you can disclose this, and maybe you can, the cost of what you went with for the WatchGuard? And obviously, you had to buy the squad car and the camera and then the interview room process. So what was the overall cost for all of that?
Yeah. So the actual WatchGuard cost was $246,000. Now that includes, you know, 15 squad car cameras, that includes 4 interview room camera systems, that includes 65 body cameras, that includes the servers and the other IT stuff, which I don't understand and can't explain the cost of that kind of stuff. It includes some warranties. It includes them coming on site to help us install stuff and get people trained up a little bit on the technology part of it, the back end part of it. So, and then there also was an additional cost of around $8,000 for our vendor to come down and switch out all of our car camera systems. And we had other issues, I don't know about issues is the right word, but we had other things we had to do with, like inside our building, we had to have, every body camera has its own IP address apparently, and I'll be talking here, maybe saying stuff I don't completely understand, but this is how it's explained to me. Every one of our body cameras has its own IP address, so we had to beef up, install, I don't know what the right thing is, but like a new network, I think is what they called it, in our building, to just to make sure we could handle all this stuff. So there's a lot that goes into it. I always say that the actual body camera itself is not that expensive. I want to say they're $850 to $1,000 a piece. So that hardware unit is not that expensive, but it's all the other stuff that goes on to make that piece of hardware work that is where a lot of the costs come in. And then another thing, another ongoing cost for us is we're going to be adding an employee. So, you know, a full-time, what we call a digital evidence custodian, who will manage all this video. And that's, you know, we felt it was important enough, you know, we're going to go from just having, you know, we used to have, I think, maybe 12 car camera systems. So we've added 3 different cars, and then we've added, you know, these 65 body cameras. We're going to have a lot more video to manage, and we want to make sure we do it right. So we wanted to have somebody that was dedicated to doing that
Is that person the cost for that person's salary? Is that outside the $246,000? It sounds like I think you said $246,000 went to WatchGuard. So that there'll be a salary for that person that's even more of a cost.
Correct. Yes, that's not included in the $246,000 was just the state bid price for the cameras and the hardware.
Can you disclose the cost of the salary person, or do you not know that yet because that person may not be here?
That person is not here. Okay. So that is a new, just more stuff that people probably really don't care about, but just behind the scenes, you know, that is a new classification of job. It did not exist before. Yeah. So we had to work with the Illinois Human Resources folks here on campus, and we had to work with the State University Civil Service System to create this job description and this classification, and then that's still in the works to get completely approved. And once it's approved, it's a classification for every state university. You know, while I don't envision a lot of other universities, you know, employing those kind of folks, maybe they will in the future, I don't know, but it's just another stop on the interstate highway, if you will, another exit ramp that we have to go off and take that and solve that issue and solve that problem and then get back on the ramp so we can move forward with hiring this person. So the salary is unknown at this point, and you know, who we're going to hire is unknown because we still got to get the classification approved.
So the job posting is not even really finalized. I don't have to even really interview a person to take the job. Is that correct?
Correct. Yeah. Yeah. We can't. Okay. They can't even put it out for testing yet because it hasn't been approved.
What are some highlighted rules? Obviously, there's going to be probably a wide-ranging policy, and we don't need to spend the time going over all of it. But what are some of the highlight rules? Like, I imagine you have to notify the person that you're turning it on or that it's activated. And what are some other highlighted rules?
Yeah, so there's different rules. There's the state law that dictates certain things that you have to do if you're a department that has a body camera program, which obviously will be now. Then there's other things that we can do that could be more restrictive. So one of the things we will do, you know, the important thing for officers is, you know, number one, they got to remember to turn it on. Number two, when do you turn it off? Because there are instances, you know, where there's people's privacy issues. So, you know, when is it appropriate for an officer to turn it off because of privacy issues? When is it appropriate if a victim or a witness ask you to turn it off? I don't feel comfortable being recorded. You know, we need to make sure the officers are comfortable understanding when they can and can't turn these things off, because we want the information ultimately.
Yeah.
If you're a suspect or an arrestee, there's a different set of rules. And if you're a citizen who's just, you know, a good citizen who's reporting a crime, or you're a victim of a crime, then that's a different set of rules. And we want people to give us the information that we need to successfully prosecute folks. And if they don't feel comfortable being on camera with that, then the officer's going to have to make a judgment decision about what to do. So in policing, there are lots of decisions that we empower officers to make. And it'll be the same with the body cameras. There'll be some things that are very set in stone. You will do X, Y, and Z. But the overall philosophy, I think, will be for the officers, for them to remember, is if you think this is going to be pertinent and if it's going to be helpful, then record. You know what I mean? Unless it's violating somebody's privacy, or unless they don't want you to record and it's a situation where you can turn it off. And then a lot of times we want them to get that request on the camera itself. Because I think some officers will embrace this immediately, and some officers will evolve into this line of thinking. But I think you also have to think of yourself as you're the director of a film. Mm-hmm. And so if your film is going to get shown to 12 jurors who are deciding a case, then you need to narrate that film. You need to explain what's happening. You need to put yourself in those jurors' shoes or the citizen's shoes who wasn't at the incident, and think of it kind of that way. Use it as a tool to help you do your job. And if your job is to arrest the bad guys and make sure that they're, you know, held accountable, then how can you use that? That's what I want to make sure we get across the mentality to the officers as we roll this out, is use this as a tool, because I think our officers do an excellent job every day. So this is just enhance and show everybody what a good job they do. Will we mess up sometimes? Of course we will. I mean, the officers are just human like anybody else. But for the majority of things that they do a great job interacting with folks. They do a great job handling tense and unimaginable situations. And this is their tool that they can use to show, hey, this is what we're really doing here. This is what real life is like. This is what goes on. Sometimes I worry that the general public isn't necessarily sometimes ready for what the real world that law enforcement has to deal with, but they're going to be getting it, and that's just the way it is.
Now, it sounds like to me like the main rule is just, you know, knowing when to have it on and when you can turn it off and things like that. But there doesn't sound like outside of just normal police governing rules, there aren't too many other major rules for the body cameras. It just, if it's on, just be aware that it's on.
Yeah, I mean, it's, I mean, if you want to break it down into real simple terms, yeah. I mean, there's little nuances here and there. But the bottom line is it's on you when you're involved in law enforcement activities. And the law lays out what those are, what they consider those to be, then you're supposed to have the body camera on. I mean, it's pretty simple. You know, if you're sitting in the office writing a report, there's no reason to be wasting space and having the body camera on.
Yeah.
But these are the things people have to get used to. Okay, I turned it off, or I'm managing the battery, because, you know, these things are recording constantly. In theory, they're recording constantly. You know, but you actually have to turn the record button on when you want to mark certain things. So battery life is an issue, and the officer is going to have to learn how to manage the battery life throughout the shift. So if you come in, you know, to write a report and you put it in the charger, now you've got to remember, before I leave to go out on that hot call, I got to grab this body camera out of the charger and I got to turn it back on. And those are the things that we're going to have to learn. But, you know, as far as rules, the rules are, if you're involved in law enforcement activity, turn the camera on.
Speaking with Deputy Chief Meyer here, just for a couple more minutes, as you look at this, just the magnet, was that the best option in terms of fitting onto the uniform that you guys had?
I think it depends on the officer. Some of the officers are going to love the magnet. I mean, I do feel like it's a good mounting system. I feel like it's very secure. I mean, if you're rolling around on the ground fighting with somebody, can it fall off? Yeah, and nothing is perfect. It can fall off. But they do have other mounting options also, and what they sent us with the body cameras that we bought was this magnet type mounting option. But they also have clips that kind of go inside the opening of our shirts, of our uniform shirts. They also have things that can clip on your gun belt. They have things that can clip in a shirt pocket. So we're going to get a variety of options, and the officers can choose what they think is best for them. You know, what works best for a patrol officer on the street working is going to be different than a detective that's going to go out and do something, you know, in plain clothes. So they'll have those options available to them to figure out what's going on. And I think all body camera manufacturers are, you know, constantly trying to come up with better ways to make these things stay on your uniform.
So, like, you yourself and everybody in the department will have one of these body cameras?
Yeah, everybody will have one. Now, If you're in plain clothes, like if you're a detective working, and you may not have it on your plain clothes,
yeah.
But if you're going to go out to interview a suspect or go out and do something that's law enforcement related, then you'll have to take it with you and turn it on. Officers in patrol obviously will have them. If they're in uniform, they're going to have them on their uniform, you know, as they go out, because they just never know what they're going to get involved in.
All right, anything else you'd like to add? UofI Police Deputy Chief Matt Myrick.
Well, I think, you know, I've said this before when people have talked to me, I think the body cameras, it's another way for us to show our transparency as a police department. I mean, in a big picture point of view, if you look at this, and I've mentioned this before, we're policing in a free society. So we should expect to be questioned. We should expect to have to justify what we do, because we are just citizens, no different than anybody else, who've been given the authority to enforce the laws that our fellow legislators, citizens, have made. So we have to be accountable, we have to be transparent, and through technology, it's not like everybody's just getting on this bandwagon now because of whatever incident may have happened that may have sparked a fire, but the technology didn't exist for this to happen, you know, 10 years ago that was affordable. So through technology, we're now able to do this, and we're now able to provide this extra layer of transparency to the citizens that we serve. And I think, you know, I've been involved in law enforcement for 26 years. We didn't have cameras. We didn't have computers in the car back then. You know, officers that are coming on the job now, this is expected. They don't think anything different of it, and they're happy to have it. And I say that, and I don't mean to think that 20-year veterans don't want it. I think they also want it because they want their side of the story told. And as I've said before, they want the entire incident to be recorded. So if it's an hour-long incident, everybody sees the buildup and the evolution of how it led to where it led to, instead of just the 10 seconds of intense interaction that may have happened with no context of why it happened. So I think that's what that'll give us. I think that's what it'll give our citizens that we serve, and we're looking forward to doing it because I think we're trying to always be transparent and open with what we're doing.